Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. We're in Ash Wednesday, so this is a time of just hit pause and think about the next 40 days and where you're at on your spiritual journey. And you know, what do you need to die to? What can you die to grow closer to Jesus and live in a Jesus-centered life? And that's really what this time is about, and today's service is about. It's not a time to sit and dwell and be in morbid reflection. It's a time to be honest, be transparent to yourself, to God, to the Holy Spirit about where you are and what you're wrestling with in your heart, your mind. And it could be anything from, you know, challenges with aging. It could be challenges with illness or an inability in your house or somebody in your home that you're struggling to wrap your mind around. Or, you know, if you're struggling with the world system, you know, whatever that is that you're really hanging on that's having an impact negatively in your life, you know, whether it's a personal sin, just a hurt, a habit, a hang-up you can't seem to shake, this is the time to try to lay that at the altar today. And we're going to have time to do that. And just really commit to these next 40 days to walk a deeper, more centered, spiritual, Jesus-centered life, whatever that looks like for you. And it's not always taking away something, which is often how Ash Wednesday and Lent's referred to, but it could be just adding something that's lacking. Maybe you don't really spend enough time in devotion and prayer or silent time. Maybe you need to listen to more Jesus-centered music or watch more Jesus-centered TV. You know, there's just so many things you can do to help you grow. So it's not always subtraction. You can be adding something as well. So I just want you to be open-minded and know that there's really nothing off-limit. If it's going to bring you closer to God, then amen, go for it. And so that's what this time is. So I'm going to ask everybody to rise, if you would. And we're going to have an opening prayer. And we're going to have a call to worship. And then we're going to go right into our scripture reading tonight. So let's bow our heads and center ourselves and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather before you as we begin this journey of Lent. And help us turn our hearts towards you. Lead us into reflection, transformation, and renewal. As we enter this sacred time, remind us that in our weakness, you are strong. And in our humility, you restore us. May this season draw us closer to you and shape us in your likeness. In the spirit of your Son's name, all God's kids said, amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to join in this call to worship. You are the yellow parts. I am the white. Come all who seek renewal.
We come ready to surrender our burdens and open our hearts to transformation.
Come all who long for a deeper connection with God. As we begin this season of Lent, remember our need for grace and healing.
We come prepared to reflect, fast, pray, and give in love. Amen.
And just if you remain standing, we're going to go right into our scripture reading tonight, which is from the book of Matthew. You can find this temptation also in Mark in the Gospel of Luke. So this temptation of Jesus' first temptation, we're going to look at a handful of temptations Jesus walks through here. But it's just to give relevance that our Lord and Savior was tempted as well, and by Satan himself. And if you've ever seen the Passion of the Christ, this scene is really played out in a magnificent, dramatic way in that movie, what we're about to read. But this is what Jesus was up against. So let's share in that together. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command those stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." This is the second temptation. Then the devil took him up to a holy city, set him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. This is the third temptation. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. May God bless your hearing, your understanding, and your application of Scripture. You can be seated. Well, again, good evening, and if you're listening on demand, welcome to Lent and Ash Wednesday. And tonight we begin a season of Lent, a time of a lot of things. You can go ahead and be seated. Of reflection, renewal, and preparation leading up to Holy Week. And while Lent has deep Christian roots, its self-examination, its discipline, its renewal principles can benefit anyone, no matter their background, anyone that we get into. And so tonight, whether you come from a strong faith tradition, which we do here, seek or simply desire a personal reflection, this message is for you. So not everybody understands Lent, not everybody grasps Lent, but we welcome everybody who's listening to this message to participate in Lent, wherever you are in your journey. And I shared a blog I wrote yesterday, and I shared it this morning around this very subject, talking about what it means to follow Lent. Even if you struggle to believe, you consider yourself atheist, agnostic, irreligious, or you belong to a different denomination, you can still embrace this 40 days and grow deeper in your walk, and you might be surprised what kind of revelations come out of that. When you dive into Lent, I think it's always important to start, what is the meaning of Lent? Well, you know, and it's always a good reflection to go back every year and just remind ourselves what Lent demonstrates. And it demonstrates and commemorates Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, fasting, right, praying, and resisting temptation. That's what happened over those 40 days. And he didn't eat anything for 40 days. That's kind of hard to imagine, right? You know, you can I can go 40 seconds and I'm still hungry, much less 40 days. And so you can just imagine the strain his body was under after that time with fasting from food. The illustration also mirrors early biblical stories. So we see Moses fasted, right, at Mount Sinai before receiving the Ten Commandments. So there's a lot of parallels biblically. 40 is a magical number in Scripture for sure. And Elijah's 40-day journey to Mount Horeb. It's a season of spiritual purification, 40 days. And so we see a lot of numeric and symbolism in Scripture that's important, but 40 is really important. It's a time to refocus, to let go of distractions, and obviously to draw closer to God. And I always love how it correlates. Lent means springtime. It means spring. It's something growing, something new. And it always correlates with the birds starting to chirp, the grass is starting to grow. It's just relevant. There's just a lot of illustrations, a lot of parallels that go with Lent to help us really, I think, embrace this season. So here's the question. Here is the key question, I think, for all of us. What would it look like for you to embrace a season of renewal in 2025? We're going through this whole message series for the year of body, mind, and spirit. So just renewing the body and the mind and the spirit and trying to live more Jesus-centered, more spiritually principled and disciplined lives. And all those three categories, with our body, with our mind, and with our spirit. But just overall, what is it? You know, what can you embrace this year for 2025 in your renewal, as you renew, recommit at a deeper level to follow Jesus? What is it? And it's not going to be the same for everybody, but although there will probably be a lot of overlap, a lot of parallels. But I really encourage you to take that question seriously as you participate in the evening service, but also when you leave here tonight, when you lay your head on a pillow tonight, be reflecting on what is it I really want to go deeper into. It could be Bible study. It could be a particular book of the Bible. It could be a particular character. It could be so many things. And I just encourage you to not shy away from it and to take it seriously. And why Lent, I think, matters to everyone, not just Christians, in the culture we're in, especially with the rise of secularism in our culture. It isn't just about religion, Lent. A lot of times it gets very religious, and over the course of time it's been religious, but it's about self-examination, right? And you're never going to get any better if you don't put the spotlight of truth on yourself and take an honest look at yourself. It's about breaking unhealthy patterns and creating a space, I mean, removing whatever's in the channel so transformation can happen. That's what it's about. That should be an ongoing practice for everybody all the time, but this time of year for sure, it's just a time to pause and go, what's in my channel? What's blocked me? And if we shut off all the lights right now and just lit one candle and put it up here, put it against the wall, and I held my hands up, what would you see on the wall? You'd see a silhouette of my body, right? So what's standing between us and the light? Self. That's always the problem. It's always the root of the problem. It always has been spiritual separation, and it's self that's blocking it. And so dying to that, coming to the end of ourselves on a regular basis, daily basis, is imperative for spiritual growth. It invites us to reflect on our habits, our priorities, and where we seek fulfillment. What are we putting in our heads? Garbage in, garbage out. You know, so it's important that I put good stuff in so good stuff comes out. And again, whether you identify as a Christian, if you're listening to the message, or you're part of a recovery community, or you consider yourself spiritual but not really religious, Lent provides, I think, a framework for realigning your life for what truly matters. And that's living a life of love and service, dying to yourself. So just as spring cleaning helps us declutter things, right? Lent helps us declutter our hearts and our minds. Susie and I just moved. Last Thursday, we have a garage, and everything that we did not want or trash went into that garage. Well, that garage, and I'm not exaggerating, was completely full almost to the ceiling. And it's deep and long both ways. It was a lot of stuff. My buddy Mike volunteered and said, I'll come over with my trailer, big 16-foot trailer. We can break down the cardboard. The rest of the stuff that we can give away, I'll give away. The rest I'll take to my scrap pile. When he got there, I had John, you guys know John, and one of his workers, Dusty, there. And when Mike got there and we opened the garage and we started breaking all that stuff down, Mike goes, I think I might have underestimated, my call here, because we couldn't get it all on there. And I still had to have somebody come and get the rest of it. But the good news is we got rid of a lot of stuff. And it always feels good. It's like, I can't believe we have all this stuff. And it seems like every time we move, we always get rid of stuff. But it's like there's more. It's like dust. It just keeps coming back, more stuff. But it always feels good to clean house, right? It just always does. No matter what it is, it just feels good to do that. And so doing that spiritually is important. There's three pillars to Lent, and traditionally focuses on three spiritual practices. You may do some. You may not do any. Hopefully you consider fasting. And fasting is not just abstaining from food or a drink. But it's fasting from what's getting in the way, what's a hurt habit or habit in your or hang up in your life that you just need to step away from. Could be your cell phone. I guarantee you wouldn't want to know how much time you spend on that thing in a year if somebody showed you a graph. You would be, especially if you're a working person, somebody's out there moving and shaking in the world, you would be like, oh my gosh, it's a lot. I mean, I forget, I gave the statistics before in a sermon, how many times we even just pick up our phone, how many minutes go by before we have to pick it up and look at it one more time. It's not very long before we're looking at it. We're enslaved to it as much as we don't think we are. And if you don't think you are, then give it to your spouse and say, take my phone and don't give it to me for a week and watch if you don't lose your mind. You know, that's just one thing. It could be social media. Does TikTok and Reels and all that stuff just consume massive amounts of your time? You just find yourself wasting, you know, it's like a cat watching a laser on a wall. You're just sitting there for hours going through that stuff. And if you saw a pie chart, how much time you spend on that, I'd think, man, if I spent that, even just a fraction of that in God's Word, what would that do to my life? How would that change my life? Could be unplugging a TV. Maybe you're a news junkie and your mind's full of toxicity from watching the news. You know, wherever you align politically, and you're just ate up with it, you know, and it's all you think about. And the world's going to, it's Chicken Little, the sky's falling because you're always putting garbage in your mind, and you're just full of toxic, whatever. It could be just, I don't do enough physical activity, I need to get moving. So I need to just start walking every day just adding something to your routine. But fasting is important. It's not, again, it's not about moving, just giving up food. It's about removing distractions, We can focus on what's truly important, and that's living a Jesus-centered, growing spiritually. And again, I gave you some ideas how to fast from social media, negativity, unhealthy habits, or anything that takes your focus away from God and personal growth. And we all have that stuff. Everybody here, everybody listening has something. So what is one thing you could fast on that could create more space for spiritual renewal? That's the challenge you have today. Prayer. Deepen your connection. I ask this question wherever it goes. How many people have got prayer figured out? Never see a hand. I mean, never, you know, everybody always feels like I got work to do when it comes to prayer. There's just, I could do more, whatever, right? It's simply turning our hearts toward God. That's what prayer is. It's just like I'm going to turn my attention towards God. And you could pray to music, song, worship. I mean, words and lyrics. I know a worship team's this way. But for me, that's a huge connection. Huge connection that I connect with God in that way for me. And it doesn't have to be formal. It could be quiet, moment of gratitude, a deep conversation with God, or simply just listening in stillness. Just Psalm 46:10, be still and just know that I'm God. Just sit and be quiet. And sometimes that's, when I'm driving a long way, sometimes I'm just like off. I might hear the road noise and I might hear, you know, the cars, you know, quirks and clanks, but it's just quiet. And it just, it's a refresher sometimes. So set aside intentional time each day for reflection, meditation, prayer. Even if you have to set alarms, you know, even if you had to just remind yourself at 9, at noon, at 3, at 6, I'm going to stop and pray for a couple minutes. Or you can be even more intentional. I'm going to pray for these people at 9, this group of people at 12, this group of people at 3, this group of people at 6. You can just do so many creative things. And then number 3 is what they would call almsgiving, living out your faith. That's what that means. Lent is about generosity, so it's sharing your time, your resources, and compassion with others. And we all have that. So it's like, who can I be intentional about this Lenten season, this 40 days, to do just that? And this definition could be volunteering somewhere you haven't showed up in a while. Or maybe you're not doing anything, and now you just want to go help out. Helping out a neighbor who needs some love and support. Or supporting a cause that aligns with God's heart. There's always something somewhere where you can go and be of service. It's important. James 1:27 says, and I quote, "True religion is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress," end quote. So basically, James is saying, true religion is action. It's not just talking the talk. It's not reading the talk. It's not thinking about the talk. It's actually doing it. So that's true religion, when it's a verb, you know. And so that action is important. When I get a new guy in their faith, before I hand him a Bible, I hand him a broom. And I'm just telling you, there's spirituality in that. You know, just the fact that you're a service, you got value now, you're doing something for somebody else, just for a moment. You help cleaning up, you help putting away stuff, whatever. But just that getting out of yourself is a huge spiritual effort before I'm worried about necessarily getting into the Word. There's some practical ways, number 4, I want to lift up to observe Lent. Now I'm going to give you 10. I wrote these 10 out in the essay, and I spent just a little short paragraph on all 10 of these bullet points today. But here they are. I'm just going to lay them out by bullet points. Number 1, daily prayer and reflection. 2 is fasting from distractions or negative habits. 3 is just practicing gratitude. I do a nightly inventory, and one of the last questions on the inventory is, what am I grateful for today? And I'm not looking for everything I'm grateful for, but I just list 1 or 2 or 3 things that I'm grateful for. It's a great way to divorce your mind from the insanity of the day and think about those things as you close your eyes at night. Putting that image into your mind. I'm grateful for these things. I'm grateful George is doing better. Right? That's a happy thing to go to sleep with, you know. It's better than that than worrying about other things. My sports team didn't win, or I didn't like what that guy said or what she said. Engaging in acts of kindness, number 4. Killing people with kindness. A smile. The universal language is a smile. Just getting into the practice of smiling at people. You'd be amazed what that does for people when you do that. Study scripture or wisdom literature. So it doesn't have to be scripture always. It could be a good Christian book. And there's a lot of great wisdom out there. Even that doesn't fall into lines of Christianity. There's still good spiritually based, spiritually principled literature. Things that are written in the world that are helpful. If it moves you closer to God, then I'm all about it, as far as I'm concerned. Spending time in nature, number six. So if you like to sit outside, it's going to be 70 degrees before the weekend's up. Sit outside with a cup of coffee and watch the birds starting to come alive. You know, the birds are starting to sing, and we're in a new neighborhood now, so you got different birds, different sounds than what we had out in Hillsboro. So that's kind of cool. And Coda likes it because there's more action going. There's rabbits, more swirl rabbits and stuff. She's all about it. She's digging it. Number seven, volunteering or serving with others. Number eight, seeking reconciliation and forgiveness. So if there's people in your life that you have, you know, just look at it this way. You got your vertical relationship with God, and you got your horizontal relationship with humanity. This could be coworkers, it could be your kids, it could be a family member, it could be a parent, it could be anybody, your neighbor. But you have these relationships. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus is really clear. If you're going to come to the altar and pray, you're going to come to the altar and ask me for anything, and you got anything here, lay your gift down and go get right with your brother, your sister, and then come back here. But this is highly important. So if there's people that you're sideways with, that there's a wedge between you and them, or maybe it's just neglect. And it's not neglect intentionally, but it's just you've been busy and you haven't taken the time to send the card, send the email, to pick up the phone, to call. We all got those people that would love to hear from us. Just, hey, I haven't talked to you since last year on your birthday it's been a while. And I just wanted to call and then you'd be amazed what God does with that conversation. Easy not to do because of self-centeredness. Number nine, deepening community and relationships. So just, if I'm not in part of something, a small group, maybe join one or start one. You know, just being intentional about growing relationships, inviting people over for dinner. Maybe we haven't had anybody over for dinner for a while. You know, or invite somebody we've never had over for dinner for a while to play games one night. You know, just to deepen the relationship. If I want to grow closer to you, I got to spend time with you. You know, and if we don't spend time together, we're not going to be that close. I mean, it's just the truth. And creating a personal spiritual practice, number 10, whatever that might be. And just change it up. I think it's important to change that because it can get stale. You know, it could be out. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm just being transparent. I've read a devotion. I read it. Could be Jesus calling. Could be Utmost for His Highest. It could be anything. But I'm so consumed with self, and my mind's out somewhere else. I read this whole thing, and I couldn't tell you what I read. So I read it again, and then I do it again. And you got to read that thing like three or four times, you know, before it even starts to sink in. So just doing that, just creating a spiritual practice, whatever that might be, to grow. So Lent is not about restriction. So many people think that. It's not about restriction. It's about renewal. And it's really important to know that. It's about renewing. It's an invitation to become more intentional in our spiritual journey. Not about taking away and handcuffing us or punitive or, you know, suffering. It's about renewal. It's about growing. So Lent isn't about perfection. It's about progress. And Jesus invites us to come as we are, embrace the season, and draw near to Him. And as John Baker, the founder of CR, would say, and I'm paraphrasing a quote from his, but I love it, that Jesus will meet you where you're at, but He's not going to leave you there. He does not want to leave you in that space. And I think that's a beautiful promise. And whether you're just beginning to explore faith, returning after a long time, or you've been on a journey for years, Lent offers everybody, it's a clean slate to have a fresh start for 2025. So the question is, as I close out here today, is how will you engage Lent in 2025? And that's your own thing to wrestle with. Right? Amen? So, in conclusion, from ashes to renewal, Ash Wednesday reminds us of the mortality. From dust we came, to dust we shall return. But it also points us to renewal. It points us to the resurrection. And as we begin this Lenten season, let us embrace it as a time of growth, reflection, and more profound connection with God and the people about us, the other people in our circles. Amen? So let's pray. Let's pray. Divine Spirit, please guide us this season of Lent. Help us remove distractions, deepen our faith, and serve others with love and humility. May we walk this journey with open hearts, ready to be transformed by your grace. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life and discovering the kingdom of God.